from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, and verse 19, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it takes spring for it. Shall ye not know? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Father, do it, Lord. Let it happen here tonight. In the precious name of Jesus. And everyone say amen. You may be seated. There are scripture in the that we read that God says there is nothing new under the sun. I've known this scripture from Isaiah, as you have most of my life. Now to know the language of the Bible. There is a language to the Bible. And when you begin to understand it, as I did when I read this, in light of there is nothing new under the sun, I may come to a clear understanding. God can't lie. God's word is truth. No matter what it says, you may not comprehend it, but it is yea and amen. There is no changing. There is nothing that is not honest and true, of course, in the Word of God. If you would look at this, because God said, "You live by every word," I'm reminded when Brother Walford preached, when the Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," that "verily, verily" means truly, truly. There's an emphasis there that God is putting that He wants you to grasp. There is something about this verse when I begin to look at it, where God, let me say this, if everything that could be written by Christ was written, the world will not contain the whole of the volume. I thought your Bible can. Brother Cumberland used to preach that this Word of God is the most edited book in the world. If everything that was written about Him, the world would contain the volume. So for God to use a word, there is a purpose for it, and that word in verse 19 is "behold." If we go back up to verse number 18, "Remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old." For God who says, "I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever," and to make a declaration that He's going to do a new thing, I'm going to be honest with you. With that mega voice device, the man that invented that still is. Since he made the invention, God told him to quit his room, he quit. Since he quit, he's got 33 gold medals. Went back, you know, after all of this. But he quoted this verse of scripture. I wanted to know something about it. I want to know something about what we need to be into. Undoubtedly, I'm going to tell you, he talks a good Christian. We use a lot of things that aren't Christian as a good Christian. Here is something that is, he used this verse of scripture to say that God had given him something new. New. That didn't always just sit really well with me. So I went to the Word of God. I began to study. I began to search. I began to look. There's never been a device like this in the world. It's a technology that's new. It never has been before. So he was correct in saying that there was something God had done something new. This was used by people in Brother Lowe's better than I do, India, China. You name a nation, you name a country, you name a people. And they use it. But he said, this is something new. I got to think, how does God use this to remind our mind? We know that God had a son. Right? God had a son. But that son was not always known in the world. So, if you want to say that there was a time when Jesus was new in that sense, maybe you can get by with that. But when you begin to think about Christ and all that he is, that tells me in my mind that there was a time when there was no redemption. There was a time when there was no new birth. Now, that doesn't mean that it wasn't in eternity. That does not mean that he was never the Son of God. He's always been the Son of God. He's always Christ to us. But there was a time, and I'm headed to a point, there was a time when there was nothing but God. So, in God, everything has always been. I kept thinking about this, and I'm going to go and get the thought of this thing. I kept thinking, are there things that God would do now that are not me and God, but they live in me? There's nothing that God can't do. He's got the power to do it. There has never been a collective rapture of the church, but there's going to be one. There has never been a corporate punishment for the world, the flesh, and the devil, but there is going to be one. You have to be careful while these things are going to think about. Some people will use these thoughts to come up with some kind of a crazy something. Brother, when he was here Sunday night, surface, he kept telling you over and over, privately, what I'm telling you, Brother Thomas, there is no sinfulness. There is no childishness. None of this is going on. He said, I want to make it clear. I've been pastoring that church 50 years. We don't put up with foolishness. But God swept in there, had never done it in that manner in 50 years, and revived those children. Revived those parents. So, when I read this, and I read what this man said, I began to think, oh, just a minute. There's nothing like the coming of Christ. Jesus was in eternity with the temple when there was nothing. For all things were made by him before him, and without him there was not anything made that was made. It had always been. So, am I right in that sense? It's new. There was a girl by the name of Mary. She was flesh and blood. Jesus had no flesh. And an angel said, blessed art thou, Mary, and told her about the birth of Christ. Jesus actually took his flesh from a virgin. That had never happened before. I never took place before. Did it happen? I said it happened. I don't know what God in these last days, in these last times, God said, pull it down. I'm going to do exploits. What are those exploits? I don't know. I don't know all. I may know some. I may know most. But God said, I'm going to do a work that you would not believe even if I told you. The last 2 weeks tonight, I've been talking about revival. Revival in the heart and the other way that we've taken it. There's never been a work like the Father worked in His Son. I know this one thing, that we are in the need of a miracle in America and the world. I know that we need a revival. I know that God has got to do something, and a lot of times, we don't know that God's going to do it. We don't have an idea that God is going to work a certain way. But I know this. I know that there are two different examples. I know that there's a righteous and an unrighteous. I'm not going to try to save the lost. I'm going to tell you what, I'm not going to try to do the routine. God would work something that would be new to us. Not new to God. There's nothing new under the sun. Nothing. Nada. Nothing. But everything with God is fresh. Whatever God does has always been in the heart of God to do. Certain things don't need to be done yet. Jesus took flesh from Mary. Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus was made a curse for us. He who knew no sin became sin that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. The point I'm trying to make and miserably failing is that we do not know all of the plan of God. We don't know all of the plan of God. We don't know everything that God is going to do. There are things that God agrees on in himself, agrees on in himself. God said, let us make man in our image. In the likeness of God made he him, male and female made he them. You cannot deny the fact that he's one God, but there were three that agreed. And when you get down and figure out how to do this, it's God that is working his plan, working his plan all the way to eternity, and God will be glorified when he completes his work. We're trusting God. And that's not a compliment, but that's the way it is. But in trusting God, adultery, murder, lying, cheating, whatever the place is, that's what we want. Are you with me? That's what we want. To one day, no less a miracle than the birth of Jesus. When God the Holy Ghost came and convicted you of your sin, he was God who took the flesh of man. We're flesh, we take the likeness of Christ. That's the greatest miracle that's ever been wrought in this world. That's the greatest miracle that man has ever known. I don't know what got you to an altar. I don't know what got me to an altar other than the convicting power of Almighty God. Where did it come from? What did it look like? How was it shaped? You can't answer that. I can't either. I just knew that my heart felt like it was in my throat. I'm guilty. I've got to go to the altar. I take this flesh. I take this old man to the altar and I repent before God. And in a way that I cannot describe to you, it's the miracle of the new birth. When I went to the altar, I was a sinner. Hello? When I got up, I was a new creation. I was a new creature in Jesus Christ. This world is in a mess. This world is on its way to hell. It's just like the earth was without form and void. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. And God brought fish, goats, elephants, trees, fruit, whatever. There was none of that before. But it was in the heart of God. It was in the mind of God. It was in God. That one day there would be fish, there would be giraffes, whatever. And you could have shown up before any of that did. If I would have told you that there was going to be an animal made, you can't go there. You can put it in there, it's going to die. Put it in water, it's going to fall. It's going to have scales. It's going to have eyes and then walk into the dark. You get moment, whatever you want to name. You may not have thought that was ever going to show up. But God said, no, sit on the path. I want you to learn your heart. I want you to give a name to everything for the past few days. There was no such word as snake. There was no such word as house. There was no such word as anything. But when they passed before Noah, and Noah gave it a name, we still call it a house. We still call it a puppy. We still call it a dog. And there was a time when that wasn't. God said, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall bring forth. That was the time when it wasn't. You know, man is pretty sharp. If it is what God is going to do, this is Brian that sits over here. She's 90 years old. She's glad to be the oldest lady in the church. 90 years old. She came to me some couple of years ago. She said, for the water, this atheist and all this in my heart, she said, they want to cut my heart off. They want to just cut it off. Give me a postmate. So she calls me. You remember? They want to do the same thing with her. She was afraid to do it one day. She said, that's a certain year. So for a while, when you see her here Sunday, 9 years old, she goes down to the call. There's a woman in all that. Picks on me. Still, I guess, Jim, I guess he still sold your own clothes. But her heart doesn't work. Her heart's not beating. What's beating is that pacemaker. Do you know that? That's what's beating. That's me. That's me. If you could have pulled a drama out of a hayfield 150 years ago, told us that one day, man cut the heart out and people can feel them. He thought you were enough. God said, you have limited the Holy One. Because of your unbelief, I cannot do what I have within my power to do. I know that's my point. But at the same time, someone is going to pick up foot up in the next place you put it in. It's going to be in the presence of God. God's called these people. He's called to be my dear. Others. In the world, ways. He's called people up to be with him. But not like it's going to be. For everything, everyone, be they dead or alive, be they buried at sea, to be cremated, no matter what may be their condition, someday, one day, one time, with all, I have preached the funerals in different parts of the nation. I never will forget the first one I went to. There was a military wedding, the funeral. Military. You know, the big shock to me about that funeral was the person that we were burying was the sixth person in the house. And then they buried on top of each other. That was how many people in God's care has died and been buried or whatever? I don't know. But he knows every woman by name. He knows where they are. He knows who they belong to. One day it's going to be my mom and dad, your mom and dad, your former husband, wife, son, daughter. But he knows them. They're not gone forever. They're not an it, a puff of wind. They know that. They just went before us. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in heaven, and so shall we ever be with him. Glorious. If he knows where that sixth person was, that's buried in the bottom of multiple graves, now they're family members. If he knows where he is, and he can raise them from the dead, he can do anything he wants to do. I was listening to Dr. Warren today. I was telling you my father was ready to speak to the first community. He said, Jesus, and he's actually preaching to the Lord, he can be not defeated, and he can be called the Lord. what he said. Jesus announced what he was going to do. I'm going to do it again today. Jesus, God announced it. We still see the persecutions and the difficulties, but it's going to happen. He was born. He is coming back. A lot of people have trouble believing him. I went to the hospital some years ago, to see a man in this church. And I made some kind of remark. What are you doing here? Something like that. He said, look, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe in that doctor. I'm going to leave God alone. I'm going to let that doctor do it. Hope I never get there. Hope I never get to that place. I'm going to need a doctor before I get out of the street. And I still want my trust to be with God. Can you say amen? When we use this word of me, what it is in you, spiritual nature. I'm not people who do not believe in this God. I'm just saying. And I quote Paul Roger, as he was in the days of Noah, something in the time comes to me. I don't know. But when I realize that revival is an individual affair, it's individual. It's between you and God. What is the relationship with God? The fact that the whole anti-religion world went to hell didn't change God at all. God told me, listen, Israel, if you will not, I'll raise up another generation. You know, the promises of God, the promise of nation of Israel, but you didn't finish it. That's it. And so because you wouldn't, I'm going to raise up that generation. God can do anything he wants to do. Can God give revival in this church? Yes, he can. Whose help does he need? He just needs your prayer for revival. He just needs your desire. I will give you the desire of your heart. I've been preaching on the Holy Spirit. This coming Sunday, if God says the same to me, I'm going to preach on a double portion. I want God to fill me, even giving me a double portion of the Holy Ghost. God can do that. And listen, souls may not want it, but they can't keep me from doing it. God can't prevent me from doing it. I'm not going to go any farther in this room. That's the first page of the page. But you see what I'm talking about. We serve a mighty God. We serve a great God. He has it all. We can do it. We've got people in this church that have needs. If you sin, you can help it. Only Jesus Christ with the more technical miracles than the last one can help somebody help us. God's given us a promise. I want to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and help us pray. In that baptism is everything that the church needs. They can create a mighty thing. I wish I could hear tonight. So, like I told you, as a free man of God. I preach to the same man, in the same church, in the same church, when he had those three holidays. That person, when I laid him in the bed, I said to him, He told me that Sister Quentin was praying for him when he had this three heart attack. She was praying in the spirit. He could hear that. She told him that he hadn't got the spirit with him, but he could hear her in English. And she was saying, God, you've got to heal Daddy. We need Daddy. We can't do without Daddy. And that's what she was saying. It was in the spirit he could hear me. That was how old I was. Maybe around 30 when I got to the heavy times. But it was about that time. One day, here in the church, he was going to get an insurance policy. I don't remember what we were borrowing money to. We were always borrowing money to. But they required that we had an insurance policy that would cover that. So, as long as he could, he was going to be he went down to the doctor and the physician. That doctor told him, he said, Mr. President, I don't know what to tell you. But he said, you've got to have the strongest, most unbelievable heart that I've ever seen in my life. But at the end of the day, he said, you should be able to do it. And he was able to take it from the heart to the desire. He didn't have a heart attack. But a J.C. hit me for the night. Said, God will never embarrass me. This is his day. God will never embarrass himself by letting you die as something that he healed you of. That's what he said. But the company had three massive heart attacks. That's what God took him to do. God is great. He's still that great God. Wouldn't it be nice to see God as I think that in these closing hours, so much demons, devils, I mean, demons everywhere. Wouldn't it be good if God has something that he was not going to do, and yet he does? We are still made of God. I believe you can see it. Hallelujah.